Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Mike Shope.
I have these notes, but I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today.
And the Bulldog.
Pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Woo! On WGR.
Come on! Get up! Come on, get up if you're as psyched as I am.
Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Thanks for listening. 10,000 shows. Amazing. What a run, if I don't say so myself. Mm-hmm. Orange zone or no orange zone, we press on. I think today is another one of those days where if you're listening to us, maybe you like the occasional hard looks at the situation, the year we're having, the return to schools being closed in most of Erie County and so on. But maybe you're trying to get away from that, right? Like you're trying to enjoy your life. And in a bizarre way that I'll never really understand, you know, no offense to Bulldog, you've chosen us.
We're somehow a part of that.
For such a diversion. Let's talk about that. With that in mind, let's have some fun. Let's talk about Buffalo and Miami, right? Now, again, like I got to say, as we know, for a long time, it hasn't really been much of anything. It's two teams playing for second place, if that. Meaningless end-of-season games. You know, usually one of the two meetings will be pretty late, maybe even week 17. There was one 2 years ago. The Dolphins were here week 17 in 2018, and the Bills crushed them. Remember that?
Yes.
Allen had a day, and he went into the offseason with, wow, like maybe there's something here, you know?
Yep.
So we've had a lot of those. We've had late season games where we've argued about whether it meant anything. Perry Fuel running up the score. Oh, that was one of my worst days in here that day because the Bills won, and it was a home game. And fans were, like, so excited to just, like, win. And I'm like, guys, don't, you're not telling me that this matters, right? Which I think maybe is the worst thing you could say after some games, even though it's right.
Yeah.
So we had that.
Yeah, no, there's been a lot. Yeah, 2017 in Miami is, you know, pretty memorable. I mean, they needed the help afterward, but, you know, the game is memorable because of what happened afterward, I suppose. I mean, they won the game. Kyle Williams scored a touchdown in that game. That was pretty cool. There's the Christmas Eve. That's not the season finale, but the Christmas Eve overtime game with Rex when they punted. And I was off for, but I remember you telling the story of just sitting there in the press box waiting to start the postgame show going out of your mind as the Bills punted the ball away.
Yeah, partly because it just wasn't even mentioned. Like,
Right.
Just like, what am I doing here? So, yeah, that one. I remember that game mostly, though, for the fact that a fantasy league I knew of, your punishment for finishing last the year before was you had to go to that game and stay the whole time. And the game went to overtime on Christmas Eve.
Take a picture with zeros on the clock,
yes.
Right? Is that it?
That was punishment for finishing last.
The game also is remembered as previous to this year, that was a 300-yard passing game, but it needed overtime to get there.
Right.
It was Tyrod Taylor, right?
Right. Ajayi, 10 men on the field. There was a lot that day. But it was not... The Bills weren't eliminated, I guess. Like, it mattered a little bit, but it was still the game in Miami, the Kyle Williams touchdown and eventually the Bengals win, it didn't matter to the Dolphins. The Dolphins took Jay Cutler out after one series, right? Like, it meant nothing to them. So when it's good, of course, is when both teams need it. And we might have that. We might have that this year in week 17. We already do have some semblance of go Denver here this week.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think it's been like it was a good observation by you to even just bring this up. Like, when's the last time as a Bills fan you rooted against Miami aside from when they're playing the Bills? And look, you might like passively always like even like my age, like I would have a hard time rooting for Miami really ever, but the scars are sort of they're gone now, like after the 70s and the 90s, and so the rivalry, like, I haven't actively hated them, and I'm just gonna tell you, I miss it. Like, I think you want that in your life, you know. I do anyway. Like, it's part of the fuel that makes you go as a sports fan. So I really am looking forward to, you know, this Sunday, no Bills game. I think I want to get in touch with my hate, and I'm gonna enjoy that, I think.
Yeah, I maybe could use it. Not only would I enjoy it, I might need it. Because that is a thing. A lot of what I am have become when it comes to the Bills is like really just professional. Like, it's not, it doesn't feel like it used to feel for me. And I don't hide from that, and I can understand why that's happened. But, you know, people, why do you like sports? What do you want from it? You want to feel things. You want to be mad sometimes, or of course happy. And the Dolphins in the 90s, oh my god, like talking to Armando and thinking about Tom Olivadotti,
yeah, right,
that's just like right there.
Yeah,
that space in my brain should be some relative's birthday, but instead,
right, but it's not. He's got an
aqua starter jacket on the sideline, a headset with the giant earphones and a clipboard that's like bigger than his jacket. And he just like, well, there's Tom Olivadotti. He again has no answer.
Yep. And if he's not wearing a jacket, you're noticing how hairy his arms are. I'm sorry. I just have to say that. Like, you mentioned Tom Olivadotti, and I think there are people our age who are screaming at their radios, his arms are super hairy. Like, it's ridiculous, but it's a thing that I remember from the 90s, which is kind of embarrassing that, like you're saying, it should be somebody's birthday is up there. I've got that. Like, I don't need that. That is not serving any purpose. I'm not even glad I just said it on the radio, but it's there. So
you remember his hairiness.
Yeah, I got to get it out there. Got to get it out there.
I might want to find out if he's still living first. But, Joe, otherwise, I'd like to see a poll about Tom Olivadotti's hairy arms. Was that the single best thing about the Bills-Dolphins rivalry?
Oh, Lord. I am so sorry.
No, but you can veto this idea. It doesn't need to happen.
If he's alive, I'm okay with it.
I got to figure out how to spell his name first, but then...
Olivadotti.
Wikipedia does not tell me whether he is still alive. So
well, you might have to make some calls.
I can't give you that answer right now.
Get on
now.
The phone.
All right.
Who's the one person you would call to find out?
Armando. Get him back on
Thurman
the phone.
Thomas. There's another poll. Who would likely or no? But Thurman, he must have just had nightmares about Thurman Thomas.
I would think. Yeah.
We have no idea. I don't know what to do. What they probably should have done is give Thurman his yards, which is kind of how it looked. They probably were trying to stop him. The Giants thought of, let's just let him go. That's what they should have done. And then throwing the ball more. Miami threw it a lot, but it wasn't often enough. They might have tried to establish the run a little too often with Bernie Parmalee or Rodney Hampton or Sammy Smith.
All right.
Or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
That's the one I was waiting for. That's what I needed there. Yeah.
One of those guys. They won once in a while, but not too often. Here's Justin on WGR. Go ahead, Justin.
Oh, is it me? You got me?
If you're Justin, that's you, bud.
You are up.
Yeah. I was thinking about Brian Cox Jr. coming to play for the Bills, and I just was wondering if his dad was ever going to come visit after that little incident back in the 90s where he spit in the stand, because I think that is probably the thing I hated about the Dolphins the most in the 90s.
Yeah.
You guys remember that?
Sure. We met Brian Cox, and we loved him.
Yeah, we really liked him. We had him on our show at a Super Bowl, and he was tremendous.
I don't know anything about his coming back though. Like that's never.
No,
was that just either. It's just this year though, right? Like nobody's over there, so it's kind of moot. But if we get back to that and Brian Cox Jr. is still on the team, that's a good question. I don't know what his feelings would be. But you know, the Brian Cox thing was not my number one thing about them though. It was like, it was kind of ugly.
Yeah, it was ugly on the fans' end. Really, I mean, there's racist stuff in there, and it's just not. I never felt comfortable with it. I mean, you know, spitting and everything else that he did, you know, is also not great. But you know, the where it starts, I think, is not a peak feel good moment for Bills fans, to say the least.
I was way more interested in Marino than Brian Cox, and just I've never liked him. And then he left football, or left his playing career, he retired, and went into broadcasting, and I could just never like him. And I would sort it would stand out to me sometimes when he would say stuff that, and he wasn't very interesting, and I just knew, like, you see him and like, that's a guy I don't like.
Yeah, no, and there's a visceral reaction. I think that's still, I mean, again, a lot of stuff is sort of dissipated over the years, and he's not on that show on TV anymore, so there's less of that. But no, I every time I would watch that pregame show or the halftime show or whatever he was a part of there on CBS, I always felt some I don't know, ugliness or just some bitterness. I don't like you. I don't even have a real good reason anymore, but I don't like you. Wear your isotoner gloves, Permatan. Like, just all this stuff that's just like, you know, trash talk from 30 years ago, like, comes to mind. And it's like, what is even happening? Why is all this still here?
You drafted.
But it was there.
You drafted Dan Marino in the hate draft.
I hate your stupid face draft.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. That was a great pick.
Thank you.
Do you remember Boomer Esiason taking a shot at him about,
yes,
what was it, like, not no Super Bowls or something?
He was talking about Manning, Peyton Manning,
mm-hmm,
and like, so it was something about like, how great can you be? Like, putting up all the numbers is great, but if you don't win, it was something along those lines. I'll bet it's, so you can find it on YouTube. It was taking a shot at Manning, his numbers not meaning, you know, there's a hole in your career if you don't win. And Marino was sitting right next to him while he was saying it. I mean, Boomer also, you know, he didn't put up numbers like Manning or Marino, but he never won either. So maybe that tempered it somewhat. But yeah, there was an awkward moment there where he was talking about, you know, a quarterback of that caliber needing the title to sort of validate their career. And, you know, there's Marino sitting there.
That's familiar, and I think he probably even did make it a little personal. I think it was a little bit more than just the coincidence. Mm-hmm. And I seem to remember Marino's face. He did not like it.
No, I don't think he did.
He did not like this happening.
Which, just, of course, we liked.
That's right? His only face. His face was always just, he was mad. He always looked mad. He was mad at his teammates. Every incomplete pass was somebody ran the wrong route, which is how he looked. Mm-hmm. He'd make that gesture with his hand, or just sort of hands on hips, just like, you know, when am I going to get good players to play with?
Yep.
Oh, that guy. That guy. Yes. This is very rare for me anymore, but that guy.
Yeah, it feels good, doesn't it? Take it out for a spin.
Sit
in it for a while. Take it home for the night. Keep it overnight.
Like, is that
take it to the grocery store tomorrow. Let me know how you like it.
Yeah. Is that going to be Tua? I just can't imagine. I mean, I'm almost 50. There's just no way I'm going to feel that way.
I know.
I was, you know, 12 when Dan Marino started playing for the Dolphins, and that was easy.
Yeah, I hear you, man. And I already, like, I've said it every time it comes up. Like, I liked Tua a lot in college, right? So now he's the Miami quarterback, and then, like, what am I going to do with that? You know, like, I'm sort of rooting for him to be good, but now he's the Dolphins quarterback, and if he's good, I mean, good luck. I better be careful what I'm wishing for there. Although, you know, I would sign up for the 90s all over again, but, of course, the Bills dominated that, you know, even though Marino was so great. So, you know, you don't know you're going to get that if they get a great quarterback.
Yeah, we'll see how his personality shows up publicly. Like, Allen is just so right for our area. He just fits so nicely. And I wonder if Tua will be like, Marino, you want for this, it's a stereotype, but you sort of want for Miami the guy to be not Ryan Fitzpatrick. You want the guy to be like sort of a, you know, a hot shot. Marino is like a perfect fit in my, you know, maybe our collective calculus for the Dolphins, you know, just like this hot shot. Shula was too. The tan and the sunglasses, right? Shula was too. These guys might not fit in quite the same way. We'll see. Here is Luke with us. Hi, Luke.
Hey, guys. Just love listening to you down here in Atlanta. You know, I don't really get much Buffalo out here, so just love listening to you guys every day. But
thank you.
Just listening to you hear you guys talk about Miami so much, it just sounds so much fun. But, like, as, like, a millennial, like, I hate the Jets way, way more than the Dolphins. And, like, do you think, like, we're going to recalibrate here in this next decade? Like, the hate anymore?
I hope so. Why do you hate the Jets?
New York, Jets, New Jersey.
Okay.
Like, arrogant market. You know, they are the B team. Mike, I know you hate the Giants more, but they are the B team in New York for me. And they're just an arrogant, arrogant franchise full of losers. And I hate losing to them, and I hate being the only team in New York, but we're the small market. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, that works. You work fireman added into this if you want. Like, that might help, too. I don't know.
I echo that, by the way. I hate the Jets way more than the Dolphins.
Hmm. Well, wow. I can see why. Thanks, Luke. I don't know. I guess I was just talking about tans, but I need two good teams simultaneously. When have the Bills and the Jets ever been good together? 98, Parcells, Keyshawn Johnson. I felt that. Like, I did not like that. Wayne Krabet.
Mm-hmm.
That comes back to me. We'd already had a problem with Parcells from the Super Bowl, and, you know, you're trying to knock him off, and then he shows up with the Jets, a little bit like Belichick, and they just win then. So that you'd be jealous of him and dislike them. And then early 80s, but just for a minute. It's just been think of all the years that they've been in the league 60 years together, and they've hardly ever been both good. At least the Bills and the Dolphins gave you a decade.
Right.
Where they were both often playoff teams. The Bills were always a playoff team. So that's really, without that, I think it's really forced. You know, without that simple thing that you have two good teams. You can't get me excited for a late season Bills game against anybody if they're not good. Like, all these Sabre games the last decade. Like, mm-hmm. Why do I care about this? If I can't get something from it, that means something, then what's the point?
I think for me it's been fan related. I don't have a good reason why I hate the Jets more. I just do. I think I feel like with Miami, there's games where, and maybe I care about this, not everybody has to, where that stadium just looks empty. And I think, well, it's Miami and they're going to the beach. Like, do they even really care about the Dolphins? Like, that's always been in my head, whereas the Jets, it's Fireman Ed, right? And like they're into it, and they're arrogant about it, and they seemingly are more arrogant about it. So, yeah, neither team has been good the same time that the Bills have been in my lifetime. But I think to have a rivalry in my lifetime with the Bills, it's kind of got to be forced, honestly.
Got to get to a break here, but Bulldog, did you see the email? Are you looking at your email while we talk?
Is that something you normally do? I noticed I just got an email, but I've not opened it.
Is it from Tom Ratcliffe?
Open it. Okay.
Look at the picture.
Oh, my Lord in heaven. Oh, my God.
Tom Olivadotti's arm.
Tom Ratcliffe, thank you for the validation for me bringing that up. Now we gotta tweet that out.
Got to show that picture.
We'll promote
his book.
Anybody who doesn't know what I was talking about when I brought it up, I'm sure a lot of people did that are our age. Holy cow. Wow.
You just got some serious credibility.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, you got a guy's hairy arms in the back of your mind? That's interesting. But now they'll see this picture and be like, newfound respect for Bulldog.
Yeah, I understand, dude. That's like all-time hairy arms.
I get it. We have the facial hair Hall of Fame. We don't have the arm hair Hall of Fame. Right. Maybe it's time. All right, so let me tell you about the Woodhouse Day Spa. Wishing them well, hoping that that their business stays strong here. I don't know exactly. I want to tell you from my experience going to the Woodhouse and learning about the different treatments. You're talking about super nice, first of all, like just gorgeous facility, and also really smart. And a lot of what they're doing in the way of services, whether that's massages or some other things, are super smart. I've always liked that aspect with the Woodhouse, sort of learning about, all right, so yes, this feels good, but why? And what are you doing? And how does it work? And all this stuff. Some top-of-the-line equipment, you know, whether it's facials or different things. And so I highly recommend that this place, the Woodhouse Day Spa, Main Street in Williamsville. For the holidays, you can purchase a $350 gift card to the Woodhouse. If you do that, you'll receive as well a luxurious wrap, sure to become a favorite wardrobe accessory. Valid on in-spa purchases while supplies last. Visit buffalo.woodhousespas.com or call 458-5700. The Woodhouse Day Spa, Main Street, Williamsville, 458-5700.
Super Bowl is if injuries, something happens to Mahomes, I think that team is just too talented. And I think that they're going through it last year and getting there and how they got there with those multiple comebacks, I think they're going to have a certain swagger in January that I don't know that anyone can match.
Okay, Mike Giardi of NFL Network on our morning show today. Welcome back. We've got lines open. We've been talking a lot today and really lately about the Bills and the Dolphins, how they compare and how the rivalry might be renewed by both teams having success this season. The Patriots in this, I don't know, I think it's kind of, I don't know, not a cliche, but sort of basic that without the Bills being good, so what? You know, like you hate them, you can hate them.
Yeah, but right. But it never.
Just how often did they play important games?
I don't know.
Right. How often did you win?
Right. It just sort of more than anything, like their dominance. Sure, you there is disdain in there, but it just sort of wears you out after a while. It's just like, okay, yeah, you're great. I'm terrible. Thanks. All right, here we go. You know, like just. It never really rose to the appropriate level and you know, like on our end. And just as the Bills are really, like last year was the only year really where it could have happened, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like the Bills were coming, the Patriots were vulnerable, but and the Bills played two close games against them and just couldn't find a way to get it done and sort of take them down themselves. And, you know, I know this year we felt, you know, good about seeing the Bills beat them finally, hanging on to do so. And I don't, like, I'm not inclined to be real deferential about them now. Like, well, they're still the champs and all that. Like, I don't think they're going to be a factor. They could. I could be wrong. We'll see. Maybe I'll have to eat this. But I just don't think that they're going to be a factor. I think this race is going to be Buffalo and Miami. And every time I see New England on primetime and hear the network announcers talking them up for the division, I just think, come on. Like, I know, like, you got a program to run. You're trying to get ratings. You're going to have these guys on a lot more probably between now and January. So you don't want to shovel dirt on them. And, you know, they've earned a certain amount of respect. And maybe if I were on a bigger platform, I wouldn't be so inclined to say they're done. But I'm in Buffalo. I think they're done.
You know, it's one. You mentioned the announcers. Like, it's one thing to hype, but it has to. It just has to stop it when it becomes wrong. I don't know. I don't really want to get into it. I've got 50 things on my mind, and I don't need this one. It's always like I'm always ready. You know, you watch the Vikings play the Bears, and everybody's great. Every assistant coach is great. David Montgomery is great, and he's not there, and that's important. Like the least safe place to go to really listen to intelligent football is the booth at games. Why? Why is it so offensive to people who organize these broadcasts to have someone in there that sort of like has the internet? Like just we still have Rich Gannon talking about momentum and chasing points and just like Come on. But I don't know. Got to have somebody in there who played, or else what would happen? There's plenty of people, by the way, who played and also have the internet. It really just should not be opposites. Oh, my God. Listening to them talk about the Bears running game. Just like, you got to have three of them doing it, too. Two is not enough. Got to have three. You got to have the different voices that you get from Brian Griese and Lewis Riddick.
Well, sound alike. Barely. Yeah, right. I mean, I was going to say, you got three voices. Two of them sound like one another that you got to really concentrate to discern which one's talking. And even that, still, you might screw it up like I do. But
it's just you have that. You're going to go with three guys. Use the opportunity to. It's so frustrating to me. I mean, I'm this is my world here with you. And the whole ball game is interesting conversation. The whole ball game. You can be wrong, but it's just got to be. There's got to be back and forth. There's got to be differing opinions. There's got to be, you know, it has to have some foundation in truth, at least, you know, or else I don't know. Maybe it doesn't have to everywhere, but I feel like it should. It does, and they're like, just like constantly provably wrong points are made, and I don't know. It's just always. It's been this way forever. It's just been this way. At least it seems like forever. And it's just, why do we have to have that? I mean, there are guys who are better at it than others. I'm probably saying something here that I don't really mean, because it's such a frustrating area. Like, this is our profession. You know, it should be good. It's prime time. It's the NFL. It should be good. Why isn't it good? Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard? Like, it's never funny. It's so often provably wrong. Why is it so hard to be better than that? It's just, yeah. Anyway, who cares? We're in the orange zone. My kids aren't going to get to go to school anymore, even though there seems to be no data that tells you that the virus is spreading, like, significantly in schools. But, you know, still, got to close the schools. And so I'm upset about that and, you know, worried about where we're headed here with more businesses being forced to close, and just not to mention the dangerousness of the virus itself. And, you know, I got to figure out how to get like five of these teams into the fantasy playoffs, despite Christian McCaffrey. He comes back for one game and he's hurt again. And I don't know if we'll see him anymore, and what to do about Galladay.
You got a lot, you know.
And because I have a death wish, I actually wrote this down for 3 o'clock because it just like hit me at 3 o'clock. This is a point I could make, because we're listening to the governor and listening to the county executive about the orange zone and all that that means, and other things I'm thinking about. And I've got on my Twitter, I've got lots of baseball on my Twitter. I read several different really smart baseball writers and sites like FanGraphs. And a couple of different times in the last day or two, references to Mike Clevinger, the pitcher who was on Cleveland, signing with San Diego, even though he's having Tommy John surgery. So he signed a 2-year contract with San Diego, and he's going to miss the first year of the 2-year contract, which is kind of weird. A couple of different times I saw, oh, this is Schrodinger's cat. And I realized at like 2:59 today, I have seen these references to Schrodinger's cat, and I really can't explain that. I want to know what that is. I want to be able to understand that reference. So I go to the Schrodinger's cat Wikipedia page, and after reading it for like 2 minutes, trying to grasp it, like, why did I do this? Now it's 3:01. Joe's wrapping up. Why did I go to the Schrodinger's cat page and try to learn this right now?
Yeah. I don't know why you just dropped this in my lap, too. I have no idea what you're talking about anymore.
You don't want to know.
I'm completely lost.
You don't want to know.
And I work here.
Is a cat in a sealed box with poison and a Geiger counter, can a cat in that situation be simultaneously dead and alive? Is kind of the point. And Clevinger signs with the Padres, but then as Tommy John, is why you might refer to Schrodinger's cat. I didn't need Schrodinger's cat. Neither did you. I'm sorry.
No, I definitely did not. I'm gonna work very hard during the upcoming break to forget it.
Okay. Good luck. Good luck.
I'll make some sort of an effort. I don't know. Maybe I'll put on a 3-minute song up here and just forget all about it.
Yeah, I'm wondering how much to bid on Kalen Ballage tonight.
Yeah. We still have not. You mentioned a couple times the how did you phrase
worst
it?
Franchise. Like
the Giants.
I nominate the Giants.
Yeah.
Right?
Of course.
How about this story? Now, apparently they didn't fight.
What? Sure they didn't.
I believe it.
Unless they did, and then the organization is just telling all the reporters who just tell you everything the organization tells them that, of course, didn't happen. I mean, I don't know what to believe. Well, you believe the team?
I do in this case. I like that attitude in all cases, but it does not check out. Like, they were virtual. Like, there were problems with the report, okay. I think. But
okay.
Still, like, they're shouting at each other, and the offensive line coach gets fired after an argument with the head coach. Just, you know, great job. Great franchise.
I really wanted there to be a fight.
Yeah. Well, you know, go with it. Keep going.
I guess, you know, we do live in an era where I can just choose to believe whatever I want.
Yeah,
and if you tell me that there wasn't a fight, I'll just yell louder, and then you know, eventually we'll stop. The show will end, and I can walk away thinking there was a fight.
Stop the count, aka stop the reports after the fight. Can we just stop it right there? And I think that there was a fight. Yeah, they are the worst. I liked that caller from Atlanta, Luke. He's like, I know you hate the Giants more. Like, oh, that felt right. Good. That felt good for somebody that called in to know that and be right.
Yep. You like when people pick up on that stuff.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Great job by Luke there. Okay, that was a segment. We'll be back. 803-0550 for us. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Today is not only hump day, it is Hoagie Hump Day. Tweet us at WGR550. Use the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day for a chance to win a $25 gift card to Jim's Steakout. Jim's Steakout. Get your hoagie on. Visit jimsstakeout.com. We're in the orange zone. Unfortunately, more places are going to close. Schools, most importantly, it would seem, starting on Monday, if your town is in the orange zone. Mine is. So that is, I don't think it's necessary. It's not necessarily the only metric. I'm not sure how many there are. One is, maybe the one is, percent positive cases, and there's a 7-day rolling average that they use. And I saw on the governor's website that Steuben County, Bulldog, you've been to Steuben County, probably. Corning.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay.
So they were yellow, and now they're off yellow. They're out of it because they were like, their numbers are improving, right? In Erie County, it's like around 7% positive test results over a 7-day rolling average, and I think that that's considerably higher than it needs to be to get the Steuben treatment. So if we all go get tested, will those tests count? We have tests now, right? We have enough tests?
Mm-hmm.
If we all just went and got tested and we were negative, there's a new stat. If enough people did that, there'd be a new number.
Okay.
You'd bring the average down.
Yeah. I suppose.
Anyway. I've not been tested yet. I've not been tested. I have had no real reason to get tested,
yeah.
Right?
I've had twice I've been tested. I went for a medical procedure, so I had to get a test before I was cleared to get that done. And then I don't know, was it a couple of weeks ago? I missed a couple days, Tuesday and Wednesday. I think it was a couple weeks ago. And I was kind of spooked. I felt like I had symptoms, and I had stuff I was supposed to be doing with people, and I didn't want to be a threat to them, so I went and got tested just to sort of clear my conscience, and it turned out I was negative. I was negative both times.
But. That's good. Negative's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
George says. Negative's good? And that would have helped the average be lower. Your one test, I mean, or two tests would have helped that. But, you know, you could get tested and test negative and then be sick the next hour, right? Like, that's just sort of it for that moment.
Yeah, that's all that is. Yeah.
So I would get tested, you know, if you show symptoms, of course. You know, leave it to the experts to advise you on this, not me. But, you know, symptoms, of course, or someone close contact, right, with somebody who's you know is positive or shows symptoms at least, then you get that you get tested and you do those things. But the average is too high. So we're in the orange zone. And even though, like, Grand Island's only had a couple of cases, I don't mean only, like, to trivialize it, okay, it's relative. But for what it is, it's a couple of cases in each school, right, elementary schools, middle school, high school. But, sorry. So kids go at our house, in our town, kids go back to what it was in the spring, starting on Monday. They'll go to school on Friday and wonder if they'll ever be back there or when they'll ever be back there, right?
Yeah, it might be. Well, I mean, we'll see. We're getting this orange zone news today from the governor and then followed up by the county executive. But the morning, you know, and I want to be somewhat guarded about getting like overly optimistic about a timeline on this. But there seemed to be good news on the vaccine front this morning.
Oh yeah,
so you know I don't know how far that is off. You know, approval and then of course you know delivery and availability and dispersal and all of that, like it's going to be a lengthy process. There's a lot of us, you know, but that at least I felt like you know I was sort of expecting this orange news. Mm-hmm. You know, like the governor, nothing was a surprise today that we heard from him, at least, you know, to me. Anyway, so I don't know. I felt like overall, I'm hoping today is like a corner turned, even though we're going backwards right now here locally for the time being.
He was pretty obnoxious today.
The governor, yeah, I got that. I got that vibe. Yeah,
and I'm kind of an apologist for the media. I find, you know, often because it's just sometimes this sort of blanket sense that it's dishonest, and you know, of course, there are going to be people and times, but somebody asked him about schools and he just got all aggressive. Like, what kind of, you know, you can lose your temper. I've done it lots of times. You can just lose your temper, but man, was that bad. I thought, I mean, it's kind of a serious subject. You might like to show a little, you know, sort of, you know, humility.
Yeah. And even the, you know, don't eat the cheesecake. You know, like there are people that battle weight problems that you know, there's a lot that goes into it. It's not just as simple as I won't eat the cheesecake, you know. So I thought that was uncalled for.
Well, orange zone, it is, like it or not. 803-0550, our number. I'll give you a fantasy tip here coming up in the next segment. We'll get back to sports. That's what we should do. Right now, I want to mention my friends at Pro Squared Flooring Solutions. This year, so much more time at home, which, you know, this has been true for us. Like, you're more aware of issues that you have in your house. Hey, we never never recognized this problem. Maybe we want to paint. Maybe we want to fix something or take some sort of challenge on. Pro Squared Flooring Solutions, for us, meant our basement floor, and it was gorgeous. And that's really, you know, a big part of their business, the flooring solutions company, Pro Squared, whether it's residential or commercial, they will do a great job for you. And it can also be very playful. I've seen some of those pictures at their website, prosquaredfs.com, systems that look like the sea, really just fun ideas too. I'm kind of jealous of those. Like, that's really a cool way to go. It's going to be great what you do. And if you want to make that sort of upgrade and think that way this year, as we are spending this much more time at home, prosquaredfs.com is a great name to know. Pro Squared Flooring Solutions, call for a free estimate, 810-0200, Pro Squared, 810-0200.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.